listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee, a show about repartee. No, I can't do this anymore. Reverend Jack, can you take this over?
This is Reverend Jack from Minneapolis, and we've been buzzing around this freestyle kind of rap rhyme thing in my head for a while. It goes a little something like this. Hey, 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 I'm on my way. Gonna go down to the repartee. Give them a call every weekday if you've got something to say. From 4 to 5, they'll be kicking it live, just trying to find a way to help our country survive. 952-946-6205. Give a call and help this program thrive. Wherever you live and however you feel, weekdays just after Matt McNeil. If you have an opinion that you'd like to share in your car or at home in your underwear, the mood with these dudes is always festive. You can be a conservative or a progressive. Whoever the host on that day would love to hear what you have to say. Whether Brett or Hunter or Doug, either way, you are all welcome at the repartee. So let's repartee, because there ain't no party like a repartee party, because a repartee party don't stop. Hey!
All right, you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. Whatever. Hosted by Doug Paget, Brett Johnson, and Hunter Hawes.
I will tell you what, co-host Brett, that did not underdeliver. You said don't listen to it yet, listen to it live, and that is fantastic.
I love
that's
that.
Reverend Jack, one of our regular listeners, who's tried to work up a little rap. I think that may have launched a rap competition. I think we might have our own. What are those called in the rap world when they have those competitions?
Oh yeah, like you know what I mean? I challenge you. Well, we totally have no idea what we're talking about, but
it was in Eminem's movie,
right? Right.
Anyway, I love it. So thank you, Reverend Jack. That's awfully good of you to not only give your own take on rap, but your firm understanding of what we're doing with the show. On different days, you hear from different hosts. Normally, today's Brett's day, but he took my day yesterday, and then tomorrow, Brett's going to be taking Matt's show, because Matt's away. See, because it's all a big, happy family around here, and we all find a way to make it work. I had to swap out because I traveled to Washington, D.C. this week, and I'm in Washington, D.C. right now, having some meetings on the Hill, as they say, on Capitol Hill, and meeting with people who have recently won their elections in November. Some of you might know that one of the things I did in the fall was I toured the country as a part of an effort to support candidates who were running against Republicans. So I was supporting Democratic candidates in an effort called Vote Common Good. And we traveled to 15 states, 31 congressional districts, supporting candidates who were trying to unseat sitting Republicans and to help flip control of Congress. And 16 of the 31 candidates that we supported were part of the 40 who won election this year, 40 Democrats. So we're on the Hill this week with some people that work with Vote Common Good, and we're reconnecting with those elected officials, which include Ilhan Omar, even though, I mean, she's newly elected, even though she wasn't running against a seated Republican, but Angie Craig and Dean Phillips are among the people that we're going to be meeting with. I'll be meeting with them over the rest of the week. So I will ask them what questions you have. So if you have a question for Angie Craig, if you have a question or comment for Dean Phillips, I would love to hear from you what you think I should ask them. You can call me here during the show today. You can let me know, 952-946-6205, if there's something that you think we should I should raise with them. I'm meeting with them about other things and how we can continue to support the work that they do with Vote Common Good, the organization that I work for. But in addition to that, I would love to bring your questions as a constituent of theirs. So if Angie Craig or Dean Phillips represents you, or Ilhan Omar, the Ilhan Omar meeting is not firmly set yet, but if any of those three represent you, I would love to bring that question to them, 952-946-6205. You can either tell us over air, which I'd love to hear, or you're welcome to just leave a message with Brett, or call back later and leave it on the voicemail. Which, Brett, as I understand, is that how Reverend Jack left his rap intro recording?
Yeah,
he called and left a message?
Yeah, so originally he tried to leave us a voicemail, which was full at the time, and I think we had some other callers who wanted to also record bumpers, So it was full. So he ended up recording on his own, then emailing it to us. But the important part is you don't necessarily have to rap like our very talented Reverend Jack did. But you can now call us after hours, leave us a voicemail for a bumper, and we'll put it on.
Yeah, you can just talk about the repartee. You can give your own soliloquy with where things are in the world. We'd love to incorporate all that in. Unless we're going to say, you know, in light of Reverend Jack's fine example, we just want all callers to have to wrap their questions, comments, or input. I think that would be sort of fun, right? Maybe that's a thing. It's like Rap Wednesdays, and we can stir people up. We can stir people up with that. Hey, Matt, Brett, I was going to ask you a question about Matt's show. I was on the website today over at am950radio.com, which I hope people regularly frequent because you get to see all kinds of information. And I was sending somebody the link to the show. So I pulled it up and was copying it. And I noticed again, something I've noticed before, that Matt McNeil's show, you know, the show that's on before ours. So if you're unfamiliar with that, it's, you know, it's on from 3 o'clock to 4 o'clock. His logo on the website is a picture of a Bigfoot character. What is that? Why is that the logo for his show?
I'll paraphrase parts of the stories for you, but he's very much into those TV shows where they're always trying to chase Bigfoot. And of course, they always try to dramatize it, saying, oh, we're about to approach Bigfoot. And of course, when they get the shot, it's always the extremely grainy photo that you can hardly make out. But then there was another story, too, and he's better at telling this, where years ago, he was at the gym, and some woman apparently attempted to, like, flirt with him and said he was a very sexy Sasquatch. So...
I see. Yeah, I see.
There's a couple different angles to it. Yeah, he tells it better than I just did. That's the paraphrased version.
Yeah, I love it. Well, that's really fun. So that's going on over there. So if you go there, that's a place to, if you're more of an internet person, you can go there. You can listen to past programs, all the rest of that. You can get the phone number 952-946-6205. It's listed there. You can listen you can listen live right there. So if you're ever traveling outside of the radio area, or some people said to me at the Blue State Ball a couple of weeks ago, they said, I only listen in my car. Because I don't have a radio at home, or I'm in a place where I'm not picking up the signal as well as I wanted to. So I've regularly said, you know, if you have a computer or a smart speaker, you can also listen to the show that way. So just know that that's a thing you can do. You can listen live, and as Reverend Jack reminded us, you can even listen in your underwear. It doesn't matter. You can listen any way that you like. Hey. Can I give a few reflections on my experience on the Hill over here on Capitol Hill? People might know this already if you've been to Washington, D.C. But if not, let me paint a picture for sort of what it's like for Congress people on Capitol Hill. If you've been to Washington, D.C., you might know that it's a tight city. Things are pretty close to each other. It's referred to by people who live here as a very walkable city. It's the kind of city where you don't so much take Ubers or cabs sort of between buildings. People are out walking around. They come in on a metro if you live outside of a close city, but it's a very walky sort of place. So what happens is you're seeing people all the time. So I've been here for a day, here yesterday afternoon and here for today, and I keep seeing people that are politicians. They're just out on the streets. They're just out walking around. Sherrod Brown was standing right behind me today at a stoplight. And I turned around and looked at him, and he looked at me. I nodded, and he nodded, and we just sort of had that like, hey, we're just ordinary guys. I almost said to him, but I felt it was a little too soon, hey, Senator Brown, you know, Senator from Ohio, who's decided not to run for office. Hey, I really wish you'd thrown your hat in. I would like for you to have stirred things up inside the Democratic nomination for president. But I didn't, because I'm like, oh, I'll probably see Senator Brown a little later. We're walking around and we see all kinds of people just on the move. So one of the things that you realize when you come to DC, and especially if you're around the Capitol and in and out of the two big office buildings, Cannon Building and the Longford Building, which is where the Congress people have their offices, is it's just a big, ordinary kind of office building with long hallways that look like they were built in the 1950s. So I bring all that up so that you recognize that it's very possible for Congress people to connect with other Congress people. I saw five or six Congress people just walking down the street. A friend that's here doing some work with me messaged me when I was on my way yesterday from the airport. He said, hey, I'm in a coffee shop. Dean Phillips just walked by. And so this is happening all the time. Here's the reason I bring it up. Because it's easy for us to think that our representatives, once they go to Washington, like somehow they sort of disappear from our world. They have all kinds of chance to meet each other. They have all kinds of chance to talk to each other. They could meet on the street corner. They could meet in a coffee shop. They could just stand at the lobby of their building and watch people come in. There's a special entrance, a special lane at the entrance where the members of Congress don't have to go through the same security that everyone else does, so they can sort of move through quicker and don't get caught in the line. So there is all kinds of chance for people to connect with each other. I bring that up because so many people have said, you know, in Washington, D.C., Congress people just aren't around as much as they used to be, senators and House members, so they don't have a chance to connect. Well, I will tell you, that's just not true. So if people are not talking to each other, if they're not finding the places of connection for each other, it's not just because it's not possible here. Like, I don't know, they go into the black hole that is Washington, D.C. They're out on the street. They're standing around. They're in the lobby. They're having lunch. There are all kinds of times. And their offices are all right next to each other. Like, you just go through the five different floors that we've been on, and it's one office right next to it. They can walk down the hallway, knock on a person's door, and say, hey, I'd like to talk about this legislation. So I want to encourage all of our Minnesota representatives to push their agenda and try to get other, especially Republicans, to come to their senses and recruit them. They should go door to door. They should go street corner to street corner, lobby to lobby, and pull these people in. I think it'd be a really fun way to encourage. And I'll say that to Representative Phillips. I'll say that to Representative Omar. I'll say that to Representative Craig. I really think you should get out there on behalf of Minnesotans and run into these other folks. So any comments you have about life in D.C., I'd love to hear it here after the break on Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman, and you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Doug, Brett, and Hunter on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio on Mondays from 7 to 8 a.m. Many listeners know that I founded Human Inspiration Works, LLC, which trains on human inclusivity and on how to be welcoming, diverse humans. Today, organizations of all sizes find that they need to train team members on diversity and inclusion. I can do that. Many say that my trainings change the way they see the world. I'd love to help make your organization more welcoming. For more information, go to humaninspirationworks.com. Thank you.
I'm Nick Slavik, proprietor of the Nick Slavik Painting and Restoration Company. I've been a craftsman for 25 years. You'll not find someone who loves their job more than me. The process of painting your home could not be easier. Go to nickslavik.com, click on the button Paint My Walls or Paint My Cabinets. I'll personally be in contact with you to get an estimate, either in-home or a free virtual estimate. We move furniture, vacuum, sweep, dust, and put your home back the way we found it. We're not like other contractors.
Located just north of 50th and France, the Great Wall Restaurant has provided a delicious taste of authentic Chinese cuisine since 1981. Specializing in Sichuan and Peking dishes, they offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include hot and sour soup, pan-fried dumplings, and mushu pork with homemade Chinese pancakes. Stop by their Edina location or call for takeout at 952-927-4439. See the full menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is all digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
Yeah, this is Karen Olson Johnson from Connections Radio, and you are listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hey, that's a fun way to say it, Minnesota Repartee. I was walking down the street today here in Washington, D.C., and a fellow was walking the other way, and he was wearing a short-sleeved shirt, and it was rather chilly here in Washington, D.C. today. Yeah, especially this morning, I don't know, 40 degrees or so, a little breezy. And I heard this person say to a couple of the security people standing outside of a building, he said, oh, I'm a Minnesotan and, you know, we can handle the cold. So, of course, I stopped him and said, well, hello, Minnesotan. I am too. And he's on the city council in Hopkins, and the Hopkins mayor is here in Washington, D.C. this week, and he's here at an event with the mayor. I don't know who the mayor is, and I said, hey, I went to Hopkins High School, and we had that little moment right on the street where the good-hearted Minnesotans find each other. That's what a folksy little city this is, Washington, D.C. You just walk around, people chat with each other, and they run into each other, and that's the kind of attitude that you can have around here. A couple of other reflections about being in the office buildings and meeting the congressional candidates that we've been that we supported on the Vote Common Good tour from around the country, and that is that a congressperson's office, if you've never been to one, if you've never made an appointment, or if you ever do come to Washington D.C., find your representative and tell them that you're coming, and they'd be glad to welcome you to their office. Their offices are, for the most part, really small. Really teeny little offices. Like, there's a little lobby area. And now the senator's offices tend to be a little bit more robust, but the because there's like 560 or 70 with all the not only the House members from the states, but also those from the territories. So there's all kinds of these things spread out between two buildings, and they're teeny little offices. So it's really approachable. It doesn't feel like the big seat of power. It doesn't feel like it's kind of overwhelming. It actually feels very, very comfortable and approachable. So if you're ever here in D.C. and if you don't regularly come and you have a chance, I'd encourage you to do so, because it changes the view. It changes the perspective that you might have about what your Congress people are doing and how they do it and what their role in Congress is. They have this bell system and these clocks because there's votes going on. Everything feels a little busy, like there's a lot going on in these offices, but they are certainly comfortable and approachable. Brett, have you been here? Have you been to D.C. yourself? Have you seen your representative in action in his or her office?
No, something I've been wanting to do for a while is to go to D.C. because I heard it's an incredible town to see, as you're probably experiencing right now, but I did not know. Their offices are teeny tiny. You would think they'd be getting like CEO-style offices with all sorts of amenities,
no, this
but
is
not
like,
the case.
These are like youth pastor offices at a church. I mean, these things are... the stuff in them is nice enough. We're here, this is March, so we're here whatever day it is today, March 12th. And they were sworn in, you know, the first week of January. Some of them were still having office furniture delivered. Oof. Like, they haven't even had office furniture in all parts of their little office yet. Tables are being delivered, chairs, this kind of thing. It's very folksy. It's really sort of down to business kind of attitude. They've hit the ground running. So, well, hey, Brett, maybe sometime when I'm coming, I'll be coming here fairly regularly, just to keep up with some of the work that we're doing. Maybe you should come along. We'll make a trip out of it. We'll record a couple of shows with the representatives from here. I think that'd be really fun.
Let's
get the repartee on the road.
I like it. I had a question for you about the size of offices, because I just remember talking, I forgot which representative or state senator, but I heard that apparently when you're in the majority, you get bigger offices, at least in the state of Minnesota. I wonder if that's the case federally, too. They were saying, okay, so hey, it's really curious. Nice. We get all the better offices now that they're in the majority. I think it was a House member because they were saying they just experienced that this past year.
Was that at the State House level?
Yeah, the State House, correct, yeah.
State House level. Yeah, I've heard that too, that they, and especially with the new building, and there was a lot of talk about that. I don't know the details on that. It seems like here that the state, the district, rather, has an assigned office. I think that's the way it goes. And whoever the representative is in that office. That's... I should double check that. I'll check on that. The reason I say that is because it seems very sort of permanent on the doors, like the it has the name of the state and all that on the door, and then the name of the representatives. So it seems like it's that way. In fact, I walked by Nancy Pelosi's office just this morning and took a selfie with the placard outside the door.
Did you
but
tell
she's
her?
Just got an office. Just got an office just like everybody else. Just I didn't open the door or knock on it. I should have. I think I will tomorrow. I'll just pop my head in and say, you know, I know you're pulling back, Leader Pelosi, from impeaching Donald Trump.
Exactly.
But, if you're looking for some help and some advice on what to do there, you've got my support.
I was just going to mention, if you see her, you better tell her that. Don't quit pulling back on this impeachment thing. What are you doing there? Speaker Pelosi.
Yeah, well, thank you. I will have to. I feel myself to be a bold person. If you asked me what I think, I'm like, I've got convictions. I will share those. I'm a person who will do the right thing at the right time. And then I'm also like, I bet if she walked out of that office, I'm afraid my conscience would buckle my knees and I would, you know, say, hey, you're doing a great job. Keep it up. But I'm committing right here to you, Brett, and to all the listeners. If I see her or poke my head in the office, I will say, please move ahead with that impeachment. I know you're given all the signs that you have no interest in it. But from one voter and one radio show host to a Speaker of the House.
And behalf of all the rapporteurs as well. Impeach.
On behalf of the rappers and the rapporteurs. Yeah. Yeah. I think we're onto something. I think the rapporteurs might need to put together a little encouragement to all of our Minnesota representatives and to the Speaker of the House. Maybe that's a little campaign we should start. You know, that we think it's time to strip that impeachment. I saw an article on my news feed from Fox News today saying that Nancy Pelosi pushes away from impeaching President Trump. That's Fox News reporting that she's again acknowledged, expressed, stated that she's not interested in pursuing impeachment against President Trump, which is, I walked by the Trump Hotel this morning and thought, boy, there's just another reason right there, the emoluments clause, that Trump taking money from foreign leaders through his privately held lease agreement for the hotel inside of the building that he has leased out for his own hotel is, to me, reason enough to look in and bring charges from the House of Representatives against the President of the United States. But I don't think that's going to happen. So I will poke my head into Speaker Pelosi's office tomorrow and spread the word. So if anybody has a comment you'd like for me to pass along to Representative Angie Craig, to Dean Phillips, to Representative Nancy Pelosi, I will poke my head in and or be in meetings with them. I'd love to hear your thoughts. 952-946-6205. You can call us now. You can call us over the break. And we come back. Brett, I'd love a little update from what you told me during the break about the state Senate passing on the marijuana legalization bill here on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota and your afternoon Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hello, humans. This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio, and you are listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
This is David from The David Pakman Show, where weeknights at 8, we expose the Hatriots, Liars, and Trumpists on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Who's your most trusted companion? Who's with you 24/7? What do you never leave home without? Your phone. But the screen is shattered. Don't panic. Bring it to Computer Revolution with cell phone repair. We have over 18 years experience fixing computer devices, all brands, all carriers. We'll replace that screen and have it back same day. Computer Revolution with cell phone repair in Roseville at Highway 36 in Fairview. Or call 651-633-6600. We fix phones. Same day, 7 days a week.
Tap, taste, and treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis, and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
It's March, there's basketball, but the real madness is putting up with dirty, nasty carpeting. Time to call in your cleaning heroes at Zero Res. Get 3 rooms of carpeting cleaned for just $129. Call 952-0-RES. That's 952-0-RES. Or go to ZeroResMinnesota.com. That's ZeroResMinnesota.com. Don't forget to ask for the AM950 special. Zero Res. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same. Zero Res.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for rain tonight with a low around 37. Wednesday, more rain with a high near 48. Thursday, rain with a high near 40. And Friday, cloudy with a high near 33.
Don't miss the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Sunday only at the Ames Arena in Lakeville, featuring up to 150 home improvement companies, giveaways, and more. It's the Home Improvement and Design Expo this Sunday in Lakeville. See it all at expoguys.com. That's expoguys.com.
This is Gary from Minneapolis on the Rapporteur, Minnesota's progressive grassroots station fighting the privileged few.
Oh, the Rapporteurs. Gary, that's fantastic. Hey, Brett, tell me what you know about what the Senate did on turning down, rejecting, not passing, not moving forward the bill on the legalization of the recreational use of marijuana.
So Kevin Featherly broke the news to me yesterday. I originally was very optimistic yesterday when I saw the Senate, despite being controlled by Republicans, was going to hold committee hearings on legalizing marijuana. Well, then we actually got to the committee, and as Kevin pointed out to us, they ended up voting it down 6-3, and his thinking was they only really brought this to a committee vote just to essentially kill the bill and be done with it. Although Governor Tim Walz is still expressing hope that things can still be done right. He's hoping that maybe they can at least get to some decriminalization issues on it. But it was just disappointing with this committee because they wouldn't even get to the point of setting up a task force. That's what some of the DFLers and some of the other pro-legalization activists were hoping for, is that, well, if we can't at least get it, you know, passed right now, we can at least set up a task force and keep the bill alive. But Republican members couldn't even do that. They decided not to even set up a task force to even study the issue. So that's where we're at right now.
Since it didn't make it wasn't passed out of the committee, does that bring an end to it? Do you know for certain, or is there another procedural means by which it could still be brought to a larger group of the Senate?
I think technically they can, but Kevin Featherly, who is the Capitol reporter for Min Lawyer, much more in the know on how politics works, he thinks it's pretty much dead for now. He's saying that there's not a good chance after this that they're going to bring it back up, but technically they still could. So maybe Governor Walz, trying to really put some muscle behind it, maybe could get it back up for a vote on a more watered down version, but we'll have to see what happens. But for now, not looking good.
Well, yeah, I think you're right that they probably did just bring it up so they could get on the record about it. I am a little surprised that the libertarian wing of the Republican cabal was not able to garner enough pressure on the Republicans to at least allow it to get to a vote of some kind. That's always been surprising to me that the libertarian wing of the Republican effort in Minnesota doesn't ever seem to wield its weight, right? I could see our legislature, and I could even see Democrats as well, saying, look, the legalization of marijuana is not something that they're ready to do as a party or as a legislature. But to not have it be brought to a vote and to public debate, or as you say, to study, in light of the fact of the number of states that we know have already decriminalized or legalized marijuana, and that Minnesota was right on pace with its medical marijuana allowances, that normally this would be the season in which a state then would take the next step in their conversation about the use of marijuana and the legalization or decriminalization of it. I'm really surprised that the libertarians haven't pushed back hard enough, and I'm not entirely sure that the Democrats want to raise this as a fight. What's your sense on that? Do you think there's enough energy inside the either libertarian wing or in the Democratic caucus?
Well, there is at least one Republican senator who very much is in favor of legalizing marijuana. In fact, he's actually Hunter's state senator, since he's met with him a few times. And this guy is not popular with the Republican Party anymore. He's very likely to get primaried for other reasons. And that's Senator Scott Jensen, who I believe was even one of the co-sponsors of the bill that the DFL wanted to bring forth, even though Jensen is a Republican. But interestingly, you brought up the Democratic side, because according to some vote counting, I think Warren Limmer, the Republican senator, said, I believe there were even a couple DFLers from, I could be wrong about this, northern Minnesota, that were even thinking about voting against legalization. So it does cross party lines a little bit, where maybe there are a couple DFL senators who aren't in favor of it. But on the other hand, you do have one more libertarian leading senator. That's, again, Jensen, who very much is in favor of it. So. Yeah, you would have to think, though, there's more libertarians than just Jensen in the Senate. You would think there would be at least five or six more.
Yeah. I mean, yes, you would certainly. It has been a powerful part of the Republican agenda is to move forward these kind of libertarian ideas, of which, look, I'm in no way, shape, or form advocating the conservative libertarians. My cup of tea. I think your view of the role of government is the opposite of what I would prefer, and I think of what we've agreed on as a nation. But it certainly is a strong lobby within the complexity of the Republican cabal, and it surprises me that they're not sort of really driving this this agenda ahead, because there are a lot of voters who are willing to support whichever party gets behind the legalization of marijuana. Like, in my opinion, I'm agnostic on whether I think it's a good idea or not. I think it's I could be swayed either direction on the merits of legalization. I just think it's going to happen, right? It makes very little sense that you would continue to keep this as something that is forbidden by law. I could see us wanting to have an effort in the state of Minnesota and across the country where you want to spend money, spend government influence, spend public opinion on trying to get people to not use marijuana, right? We do this with tobacco. We do this with alcohol at some level. We do this with all kinds of self-indulgences, right? We do it with health. We do it with all kinds of actions. I am really surprised that we continue to not use it as an influence campaign, but rather keep it in the category of legality or not. And I think any any political party that would get out in front and own this, even if they're not highly championing it. I think the pro legalization of marijuana constituents, they don't need the party to be to be championing it. What they need, or seems to me that they need, that what they want is they want somebody who will let it come to the surface, right? Let it be made legal and let the chips fall where they may. I think whichever party gets out in front of that, you're going to pick up an entire group of future voters. I think so. I am surprised that there's not. And this is not an urban versus rural thing. I know an awful lot of Republicans in rural America who are all for the decriminalization or for the non-criminalization or the legalization of marijuana. All kinds of people that are into that. I think the party that is, so I'm not sure why either of the parties is not saying, let's be the ones that grab these voters and really champion it on their behalf. Because it doesn't seem to me that the opposition to legalization of marijuana is nearly as organized or as powerful or as significant. Hey Mark, up in Fridley, what's your thought on this legalization of marijuana situation?
Hey, Doug, I hope you didn't fly a 737 MAX 8 out there.
I when I see those kinds of stories, I have no idea what kind of airplane I was just on. I don't know if I just defied death, because I rarely look at the make and model of the airplane, but I think I should start.
Well, they usually tell you this is an Airbus, this is a Boeing, but I would imagine
they certainly do, and I don't even listen to them.
Ask any police officer or anybody that's worked in an emergency room: would you rather deal with somebody that's drunk, or somebody that's high?
And what would their answer be?
People are high are easy to work with. It takes a bag of Doritos to distract them. People that are drunk are belligerent and aggressive, and
it takes a bag of Doritos.
Just go ahead and do this. But I just want you to, seeing that you're in D.C., I want you to say hello to Elijah Cummings for me, who is the House Chairman of the Oversight and Government Reform Committee, and tell him I look forward to talking to him this week.
Mark, I will look him up on the directory and poke my head in and say hello from Mark from Fridley. Glad to
and
do it.
There's two things that we're going to be talking about, and one is something that is completely missed from the media, and maybe we can talk about it when you get back. But a report by the Committee on Oversight and Reform that's chaired by Elijah Cummings, whose title is "Whistleblowers Raise Grave Concerns with Trump Administration's Effort to Transfer Sensitive Nuclear Technology to Saudi Arabia."
Yeah.
If that's not an impeachable offense, the New York Attorney General is going to get him, but then we end up with Pence. So.
Wow. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's a story. Well, maybe we'll give a whole segment to that at some point, because I think that's worth talking about. Thanks, Mark. Appreciate it.
This incorporates Mike Flynn. Manafort's going to get a pardon. Cohen is going to.
I think this is what all that cover up was about with Mike Flynn and Manafort and all of it. I think this could be the root of it. It's why it's why Donald Trump's first international visit as president was to Saudi Arabia. There's a reason that's what he did first, and he bowed to the king there. There's something going on there. I think you're right. Hey, Julie, Minneapolis, what are your thoughts on this legalization of marijuana and so on?
Yeah, just a couple of quick comments. I might be having some phone issues. On the marijuana thing, I agree with you. Its time has come. I think you'd get about 90% more people on board, both legislators and ordinary voters, if they came up with a test that you could give to test for, when people are driving, that an officer, sees somebody weaving back and forth. There's a test like there can be for alcohol. It seems like it would be pretty easy to come up with a test, and I think eventually somebody will come up, but I think that's a sticking point for some people. And the other thing I want to say about Pelosi is there's a lot of arguments pro and con impeaching the president, trying to impeach the president. We know he won't be impeached because of the Republican Senate. But one of the arguments for going for impeachment is, I think the Republicans, they're not attacking Nancy Pelosi anymore. She's not a threat to them. They think they can handle her, and she's It's like she's one of the guys or something. She's just not a threat. And so what the Republicans are doing strategy-wise is I think they're attacking Muslims. Remember in the last several years how Nancy Pelosi was Satan incarnate? And they're not treating her like that anymore. So that's the part that worries me.
It
makes
the
Democrats look like a doormat if they don't try to impeach him. Thank you.
Well, Julie, I couldn't agree with you more. That's how I feel about it. Whether or not he would be convicted, it feels to me like they're going to want to do their part. This is the separation of powers question, that the House is called to do its role irrespective, I view. This is where I differ with what I've heard Nancy Pelosi and other Democrats say. Irrespective of what the Senate does, they need to do their part. It's like in the legal system. What the prosecutor is going to do is to bring charges. A jury, which in this case would be the Senate, has to do its part. But the prosecutor needs to do the prosecutor's role and not say, well, I'm not going to bring charges on behalf of the state against someone we think has committed a crime because we don't think a jury would convict. You need to let that part of the process run itself. Because if not, then what you're doing is you're saying our job as the people bringing the charge, in this case, the House of Representatives bringing impeachment, is to function as the Senate. In other words, we know how they will vote. Well, that's not what you're supposed to do. You're not supposed to know how they're going to vote. So I think that's worthy of a conversation as we go further in a bit. And Julie, if you'd up for calling back, you can, or just call in over the break and leave this bit. I thought that was a great comment you made about marijuana and if there's a way to test or not. So you it sounds like you maybe know. I don't know the answer to this. Does a blood test or an alcohol test that you take not indicate a specific amount of influence of marijuana in a person's body that would render them to be driving under the influence of some kind of a drug? So that's curious. I didn't know that was something people are holding out for. But so if you want to call back, we'll listen. We'll take it from you here after the break on AM 950 and Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hi, this is Mark from Fridley, and you're listening to the Rockin' Tower of Power Hour with Doug, with Hunter, and with Brett.
Buy appliances at or even below cost during Warner Stellion's Real Deal Clearance Sale. Choose from hundreds of floor models and closeouts, all marked with a big yellow tag. Plus, unbeatable savings on special buys, including top-rated laundry pairs, French door refrigerators, four-piece kitchen suites, and more. And you still get trusted free delivery, haul away, and 18 months interest-free financing. Yellow-tagged appliances below cost and unmatched savings on special buys while they last at all 10 Warner Stellion stores.
Hi, Matt McNeil for Rudy Luther Toyota. March is Auto Show Month at Rudy Luther. This means throughout the month, they'll have great auto show deals on all new Toyotas. My first Toyota love was the RAV4, and it's completely redesigned for 2019, and the new RAV4 Hybrid will be here soon. Remember, buy a new Toyota and get a $250 gift card, trade in a vehicle on a new Toyota, and get another $250 gift card. That means a total of $500 in savings. Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley, and online at rudyluthertoyota.com.
Get out of the cold at Burger Moe's. Burger Monday Madness happens every Monday after 4 p.m., except on Excel event evenings, where you can order any burger with fries on the menu for just $6. Burger Moe's always offers fresh, never frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, desserts, two daily happy hours, and 60 beers on tap. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermoes.com.
Being a dog is awesome, except when you really gotta go, but you're stuck inside. That's why I had my human call the Urban Dog. Daily walks, field trips, play groups, one-on-one time, safe off-leash play, and pet sitting. I love being an Urban Dog.
The Urban Dog works with your schedule and can create a plan that fits your needs. The Urban Dog. Exercise, explore, socialize. Let the journey begin. Call 651-231-6333. That's 651-231-6333.
Woo, woo, woo. I'm Candy Broffel, publisher of the Twin Cities edition of Natural Awakenings magazine and host of Green Tea Conversations, a new show for people who are on a journey to take responsibility for their health and play a more active role in their family's well-being. Join me every Sunday at 10 a.m. as I interview local experts who share the latest in natural holistic approaches in a fun and informative way. So grab a cup of tea and join the conversation as we awaken to natural health. Visit us at naturaltwincities.com.
Hi there. This is Alan Miller speaking, the local and studio curmudgeon. You're listening to, and wisely so, Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Yeah, as the curmudgeon reminds you, you're doing the wise thing by listening to the repartee. Hey, those who are worried, I just checked with Delta Airlines on my flight home on Friday, and I'm flying on the CRJ-900 flight aircraft, not flying on the one that's in all this trouble, this Boeing 700. I just saw a headline come through that only Americans and Canadians are currently flying on that aircraft. So, geez. And Brett, you were saying that Donald Trump just tweeted that maybe airplanes are too complicated for current pilots.
Yeah, he essentially tweeted that this morning, saying how automation has taken over everything, which he's not wrong in, but it's just a stupid look to say that airplanes are too complicated for pilots. I don't know necessarily what his thinking is.
He just is a special kind of narcissist where he thinks that if he didn't know that healthcare was complicated or he didn't know that North Korea was complicated, he's like, who knew? Boy, this is really hard. And then he's like, well, I couldn't fly an airplane. I bet nobody can fly an airplane.
Exactly.
Like, yeah. It's really its own level of curious, isn't it? Hey, we have another Julie, the other Julie from Minneapolis, the first Julie, second Julie, I don't know, but a different Julie who also has some comments about impeachment. Hey, Julie.
Yes, this is the other Julie. I'm not sure. I'm trying to collect my thoughts here.
Okay.
So the analogy to Watergate is with Pelosi today, the House, is that the House began to investigate Nixon for crimes. Okay. And the Senate Republicans were not on board at all, just like they would not be on board today. And so Pelosi is waiting for an indictable crime to come before them that they can act upon and get the Senate Republicans to say, yes, this is a crime and we can no longer support our president. Now, why they have to this point is beyond me, but they have, and they're going down that hill with Trump. And until the Republicans get on board with crimes, or what's the other one?
Misdemeanors.
Treason.
High crimes or misdemeanors.
Yes. Thank you. Pelosi is smart to hold that option back. And meanwhile, they are doing investigating, to the nth degree. They're investigating everything. And so eventually this may come to a point where the Republicans can no longer deny their criminal president.
You know, Julie, you might be onto something. Go ahead. Finish up that thought.
I just want to say I support Nancy Pelosi's strategy in this impeachment matter.
Gotcha.
Because
Julie, can I just clarify? So I'm sure I've got. Let me just clarify with you. So I'm sure I've got what you're saying. You're saying that Nancy Pelosi is saying at this point, right now, we're not interested in impeachment, because we don't yet have the information we need of an indictable crime. So let's just be really clear that we're not doing that yet, with an emphasis on the yet, as opposed to those who are saying, well, we shouldn't impeach because we know the Senate won't convict. So let's keep impeachment off the table until we're sure the Senate will convict. Or do you mean
she also wants to be sure that whatever indictable crime is something that the Republicans in the Senate would go along with having to convict the president on. Do you understand
yes, that on both
question there?
Yes. My opinion is yes on both those points that you just made.
Yeah, you could be right. I have a Republican friend, and he's argued with me for the last year. He said this because I've said to him, "Hey, can you help me understand how your Republican Party just continues to be sycophantic about Trump, meaning that they support him only so they will stay in power?" And his argument is this: he says there are many Republicans of good conscience. We differ on that. It says, and those Republicans of good conscience, what they're doing is they believe, according to him, that indictable crimes against Donald Trump are pending. So they want to be as supportive as they can right now on all things so that when this information comes out through the Mueller report or through investigations from the House, that when that comes out, then they have to say, we cannot support you any longer. They have built all the goodwill with the Republican voters so that the Republican voters will say, we know that the Republicans were with him all the way. They even supported him in all of the things he did. And finally, like Popeye said on the old cartoon, they just can't takes it no more. And they're building their own credibility with their own voters so that there won't be a civil war feeling kind of split in the country. That's his argument, which if you're right, and what Nancy Pelosi is doing, if you're right about that, those two things could go together. And we could all wake up someday and say, okay, we don't like the strategy. We don't agree with the strategy of either party. But in the end, they finally did come to their senses and defend the country, the Constitution, the rule of law over their own political party and political aspirations. And I say, if that's true, wouldn't that be great?
Agree with that take by that conservative friend. They're all about power. They're all about retaining power. And they won't retain power until it becomes clear to them that the country is not going to support them.
Is not with them.
Vis-a-vis these crimes.
Hey, Julie, thanks so much. We're going to run out of time here on the show. I really appreciate you listening, and thanks so much for the call. This is the Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950. Thanks for listening, all.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at am950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.